Hello there. All right, now listen, you guys know I love to do a little skit, throw some comedy at you guys here, some impressions to start off the episode. Tonight's episode, too big, too important. We got to get right to it. We got a great guest lined up for us. Tonight, we got Brian from the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast on the show with us tonight. And Ahsoka dropped 2 episodes on us this first week. So like I said, big episode tonight. We got Brian from the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast on to help us break down and give our opinions on these first 2 episodes from the Ahsoka series. So without further ado, Colby, you know what to do, buddy. Give us that music. My name is Johnny J.
And I'm Tim from the Dreaming of Disney podcast.
This is episode 64 of the DMSW podcast.
And the review of episodes 1 and 2 for our Ahsoka recap show miniseries. Hey guys, welcome to another episode here. Great to be here with you, Johnny. We got our first 2 episodes of the Ahsoka show. What'd you think? We're like, real quick, 1-2 words, you know, reaction.
Exciting time to be a Star Wars fan. And if you can buy stock in people, buy stock in Dave Filoni, because that guy's stock is just going to keep on rising.
Yeah, to quote Anakin, and I always use this phrase, this is where the fun begins. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. Action-packed, great character development. Can't wait to really dive deep into this episode. We got a guest host today, Brian from the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast. Why don't we bring him in and we can really get into this episode?
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, Brian's good. He's got the knowledge like Kevin had last week. So me and Tim will get you our opinions from this current show, and Brian will help us fill in the gaps and give us his opinions while kind of filling in some of that backstory as well. So excited to get you guys introduced here to Brian.
Yeah, let's go. We got some exciting news too, so stay tuned for that.
Sounds good. Let's get him in here. Our first full episode review guest here is Brian from the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast. Brian's podcast is 209 episodes old. You can find his show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. You can find Brian and his wife Tracy on Instagram at Rope Dropping Knowledge. You can find their Facebook page under Rope Dropping Knowledge. You can find them on the TikToks if you're into that all that cool kid stuff that they're doing these days. They're at Rope Dropping Knowledge over there as well. And the easiest thing you do is go check out their website, ropedroppingknowledge.com. They got all their social links. They put their podcast feed up there as well. So anything you need to find with these guys, you can find them through the website. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. You know, this is very exciting.
Yeah, great to have you here, Brian.
Yeah. I've seen you guys again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we kind of, you know, go back a little bit. You know, we, for those who followed our podcast, know that we teamed up on Podcast Mics for Magic, which was a fundraiser that we did for CHOC, Children's Hospital of OC, for in honor of Splash Mountain's last final day, this last splash. And we all got together at Disneyland on May 30th, and we all saw each other in IRL in real life, and got to hang out the happiest place on earth on Splash Mountain's final day. So it's great to have you back here talking Star Wars. I mean, that's why that's why we're here. That's why we do this thing, because we love the wars, you know. So
this is great seeing you guys again. Star Wars and Disney, I can't think of anything that I'd rather talk about more, so thank you.
Awesome Thanks for coming on the show, Brian. Like I said, his podcast he co-hosts with his wife Tracy, and I'm not just sucking up to him here because he's on the episode. These are literally two of the nicest people that you could possibly meet in this Disney online and podcasting community. If you think I'm a teamwork makes the dream work kind of guy, you haven't met anybody yet until you've met Brian and Tracy. They support the heck out of everybody in this Disney podcasting community. They're so friendly. They chat with everybody through DMs and text messages back and forth. And like Tim just mentioned there, they were one of the first people to jump on board and help us with Podcast Mics for Magic. They are extremely generous to their own podcast listeners. They do. They are the best at podcast giveaways. Spoiler alert. We'll have some more on that information here coming up for this show here. But Brian, why don't you let everybody out there know just talk a little bit about your podcast and your co-host there, Tracy.
Yeah. So me and my wife, Tracy, we are just huge Disney fans. I think that the first year we met back in 2013, we got annual passes, which is what they were called back then. And yeah, we've been going to Disney probably monthly ever since, you know. It's just a magical place. We meet great people. We even have friends who are cast members now. And then this past year, we were fortunate enough to link up with you. And then we have some people who, you know, who aren't podcasters, you know, like Bill Whip Float and some other content creators. And it just led to, like Tim was saying, Podcast Mics for Magic. And yeah, it's just a magical event. And it's, yeah, I think one of the best things about this whole, I guess, I don't know if you call it a hobby or a lifestyle, but it's just the people you meet. And yeah, I think it is, it's not just fun, but it's good mental health on top of it.
Yeah, it's not a phase, Mom. It's a lifestyle. So you went to San Diego Comic-Con. Was it this year or? Yeah, so tell me about that. I mean, tell us, you know, what was that experience like?
So we've been going every year. I mean, I live in San Diego, so I've been going since I was like 15 years old.
Oh, nice.
Back when it was really just comics.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And then the whole Twilight saga came out, and that kind of changed it and made it more of a Hollywood thing. And it just became really hard to get tickets and stuff. Fortunately, if you bought tickets the year before, you get access to the pre-sale. It's still a lottery, but it's, you know, it's just selected for pre-sale people who've been there the year before. But this year, because of the strikes, a lot of the actors and studio people and producers and stuff didn't show up. Marvel really didn't have a big presence there. DC didn't have a big presence there. So it was basically kind of back to the old days. It was still, you know, tens of thousands of people, but I think it was a little more like the old days. Still a lot of Star Wars, still a lot of Marvel, you know, people who've contracted with their IPs and stuff like that. But it was great, and I love going there every year. You'll see some of the weirdest people, but some of the most fun and creative people there as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of going, I mean, even before the strike, you know, these Hollywood studios or just these large media companies are now doing their own conventions. You know, you got Celebration, obviously, and mm-hmm. then you have D23. And so you see the pulling out of these larger, bigger conferences like San Diego Comic-Con. But yeah, I can see how the strikes would kind of put an end to some of the big reveals. Cause usually that's like the times where they have the big trailer drops. And
well, last year, yeah, we went to, yeah, Star Wars convention when it was in Anaheim. And I think our podcast started off as more of a kind of hacks, tips and tricks. I think that's what most people start off with. But then it kind of moved into more just Disney news. We actually, I think one of the things that distinguishes our podcast is we talk more about the business of Disney. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gets into the executives, you know, Kathleen Kennedy and any kind of drama that's going on with Lucasfilms or, you know, the MCU or anything like that. And I enjoy that stuff because I have a business background. We own a couple of small businesses. I have an MBA and, you know, she's a corpo that I call her. We both work for companies. And those type of things interest me. And I think it's some of the things that Disney fans don't typically hear because there's a lot of stuff. The reason I actually got my MBA, and I got it late in life, I didn't graduate with that until I was 42, I believe. But it was kind of like, you kind of want to know, okay, what are the forces behind the nothing, right? Mm-hmm. What are the things that you want to, the things that you love, what influences those? And how come these things that you like disappear? And how come these new things that you don't like appear? And it kind of gave us a, better angle to criticize things if deserving, or praise things if they're deserving. And I think that our fans deserve that kind of information as well, because a lot of people just don't have the time to just do a deep dive in any of those things.
For sure. And, you know, people realize too, don't realize that Disney is way bigger than just the theme parks. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, obviously the theme parks are like the visual draw to, you know, the company. But I mean, there's so much more to Disney than just the theme parks, obviously the Star Wars, Lucasfilm, the movies and all that kind of stuff. But just the business side is just immense.
It's huge. You could do probably a whole week of episodes just on their real estate holdings.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And for those of you guys that haven't checked their podcast out, I cannot recommend it enough, because just like Brian said, all those very complex topics that he brings onto the show and talks about it, he explains it in just the easiest way possible. So there's all that, when you see those articles on CNN.com or wherever you're getting your news from, and you see this 10-page article about the Disney, the latest earnings call that just came out, and it all looks like a foreign language to you, Brian does a perfect job of always finding a way to summarize it, keep it funny and lighthearted and interesting at the same time. So you can kind of walk away after listening to one of their episodes feeling like, okay, I now understand everything that just came out of that meeting without having to read an 8-page document about it. So you guys do a great job of covering that material. Oh, thank you. Sure.
It's fun.
So before we get into our first reactions to the show, we have, as Johnny alluded to, we have an awesome, awesome giveaway with thanks to the Brian and Tracy for donating this amazing giveaway. So Brian, kind of talk about, you know, what you have in store for us.
Well, yeah, back during the pandemic, and I think it might have been at the beginning of the pandemic, I pre-ordered. I'm one of those people who has all the, you know, the toys and all the stuff. And, you know, we always make jokes on our podcast that, you know, my wife Tracy buys too many popcorn buckets and things of that nature. But I'm the only reason I do it is I'm projecting, because I have way more stuff than she does. And one of the things that I pre-ordered.
Don't let her hear this episode. I'm just going to use this against you.
I'm giving it up here. But
she's going to clip this little segment and replay it to you all the time.
Probably. So one of the things that I purchased during the lockdown of the pandemic, at least, was an Elite, and I got these two at the same time. I wanted the Darksaber, of course.
For sure.
And I wanted the one that was, it's called Black Series. It's, you know, they're the Elite ones. I think they're under Hasbro. And those, anytime you see like the really nice helmets, the ones that have like the voice modulators in them, or anything, the ones that are on display a lot. If you guys go to Disneyland, if you go to the Star Traders, or you know, you'll see those things displayed. They're the really top quality, especially when it comes to Star Wars merch and replicas. And so, at the same time, there was a Ahsoka Tano lightsaber that I pre-ordered. Never really was into lightsabers, but it just looked so cool. And so I got it. Didn't know what I was going to do with it. I knew that I wanted to use it in some form of capacity. But there was never anything big enough, you know, because back then, you know, it cost a certain amount of money. And then now I can't even find it for, I mean, I'm not going to say how much it's worth. You guys can go look at it for yourselves, but it's pretty big. And it's unopened. It's an Ahsoka Tano Force Effects Black Series lightsaber, and this is the blue one. So for those of you who watched the last episode, the last episode, I should say, of the Clone Wars Season 7, this is the blue lightsaber she threw on the ground, and Darth Vader ended up picking up at the end near the clone graveyard. So a lot, and I always want to preface that because I know that a lot of people are just used to her with her white katanas, you know, her... And they're going to be like, well, this one's blue. You said it was Ahsoka. Well, first of all, Ahsoka's on the box, so don't worry. But for those of you who didn't watch The Clone Wars, you know, Anakin did make her a set of blue ones. And this was in the 7th season. And so this is an iconic one. And yes, we, the three of us, are giving it away because of our special Ahsoka project that we're currently doing.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for donating that and not finding something to do with it. So it's now our benefit, our listeners' benefit. So appreciate it. So, Johnny, kind of break down how we're going to do this.
Sure. So, like Brian alluded to there, this is an elite item giveaway here. This is a top-notch item here for any Star Wars fan, but especially if, like he was alluding to there, if you are into the Clone Wars series and you've been a fan of Ahsoka Tano's for a very long time, this is not some item that you're just going to walk into the park and pick up at the regular shop there, right on Disney property. This is a special piece here. So we're going to make you guys jump over to Instagram. You'll see a post coming out from all three of us. You're going to want to give all three of our accounts a follow on Instagram. That's at rope dropping knowledge, at dreaming.of.disney.podcast.
Good job.
For Tim, and at the DMSW podcast. Yep. For this show here. And then what you're going to want to do is I'm going to give you a code word here today on this episode, and Brian's next episode for his show will release on Friday, September 1st. So make sure you go check out Brian's podcast in your podcasting app of choice there. Give that episode a listen. Listen for his code word on his show. And then Tim will do the same thing on his next episode release, which will be on Monday, September 4th. So the code word you're going to want today from this podcast here, from the DMSW podcast, is Morai. Morai, the Convor / owl there that we've seen following Ahsoka Tano around. I use that owl a lot in the teases that I used here on my Instagram feed when we were teasing kind of what this Ahsoka Tano project was for the previous few weeks there. So your first code word, again, is Morai. Morai.
Do you want to spell that for people who don't know how to spell it?
Yeah, sure. Morai. But as long as you get even close, we'll count it for you, because we it can be a little tricky. I'm sure autocorrect's going to change it to moron probably anyways or something when you go to type it in. So as long as you shoot me a DM with as close as you can get to Morai, we'll count that one. And then, like I said, make sure you check out Brian's podcast, Rope Dropping Knowledge, on Friday, September 1st. Listen for his code word, and then check out Tim's podcast, the Dreaming of Disney podcast, on Monday, September 4th. Once you get all three code words, you're going to want to shoot me a DM at the DMSW podcast. Give me all three of those words, and we'll get you guys entered into this amazing giveaway.
So what's the deadline for this? You know, when are we going to draw names?
So that's the deadline is going to be Sunday, October 1st, 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that'll be the absolute cutoff. And then the following week is going to be the final episode of This Ahsoka Project. I believe that's going to be on the 4th, if I'm correct. And yep. We'll be announcing the winner then. And must be 18 years older and live in the United States. Those are the only qualifying conditions. But good luck.
All right. This is so awesome, guys. I mean, you can't even buy these in stores anymore, right?
I don't think so. No, you can get them on eBay, but you're going to pay a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, you know, if you're a collector and you collect lightsabers, I know a lot of guys who collect those and girls. So, I mean, if you're looking forward to score a Ahsoka Tano, you know, vintage lightsaber, Clone Wars era, I mean, this is your shot. So give us a listen for sure.
Yeah, and it's free to enter. We're not charging for raffle tickets here. So all you got to do is listen to a few podcasts. And even if you yourself are not a big Star Wars fan or Ahsoka Tano fan, I'm sure there's a friend or family member of yours that if you won this lightsaber for them, you would be number one on their friends list here. If you wrapped this puppy and gave it to them the next birthday.
We're not charging for shipping either. So you don't have to pay a dime.
Awesome. Completely free. Completely free.
All right, so let's get into this episode, guys. I mean, let's start off with our spoiler-free reactions. So I guess we should preface this. If you're listening to this episode or any of these episodes coming up, we're not holding anything back. I mean, there's going to be spoilers, so if you like to wait until all the episodes out and binge it, don't listen to us yet, because we're not holding anything back. We're going to get into the deep dives, we're going to go into predictions, all that stuff. But let's at least start off with our initial reactions of what we thought. So, Brian, you're the guest here today. What'd you think?
So, if we're talking episode one, I have to definitely give it a thumbs up. Yeah. Filoni, I had high expectations too. Mm-hmm. So, because of Filoni was doing it, this is his project. And yeah, I think a lot of the criticisms people had of a lot of the past Star Wars projects were addressed in this first episode. And yeah, loved it.
Awesome. Johnny, what'd you think?
All right, so I gotta say, first off, the initial reaction for me was the CGI and special effects just absolutely blew me away. I'm also a big Marvel fan. Obviously, you guys know DMSW, M for Marvel. So the latest projects that we've seen from Marvel with She-Hulk and Secret Invasion, to me, were very much a letdown on the quality of CGI. And to me, this, for as good as I think Mando has been with their special effects and CGI and all that type of stuff, doing all that filming in the vault, that you've seen on those kind of behind the scenes shows there, just this show will just blow your doors off. The quality is right up there with what you would expect from a full feature movie.
Definitely.
In an IMAX theater, it was just absolutely incredible. It never felt like they were pinching pennies or cheapening out on the CGI. And I definitely was getting that vibe with the last two, at least Disney Plus projects from the Marvel side of things here. So right off the bat, that was so good to see that it didn't look like there was any penny pinching here on this show. They are going full tilt and really trying to bring you the best quality product, I think, that they can. And I think as far as the actual show and the characters go, at least for me, we had mentioned last week on the show, for me, I'm more of a casual Star Wars fan. So I've seen all the movies and I've seen everything live action that's been out on Disney Plus, but I missed the boat on all the animated stuff from back in the day. So I'm kind of coming at this a little bit differently than I think a lot of fans are. I don't have the history and the backstory with Ahsoka and all those teammates from the Rebel series as well. So I wish I had planned this better. And when we first found out that they were going to be making this Ahsoka show, I wish I had committed then and gone back and watched all that animated stuff, because by no means am I trying to knock this show or say it wasn't that good. I feel like I'm missing the connection to these characters. And when I watched the first two episodes, I was happy, not for myself, like, wow, this is a really amazing project, it's my favorite Star Wars thing I've ever seen. I was just watching it going, man, I can only imagine how much those fans that really invested their time and bought in and watched all that animated show, this must be just absolutely blowing their minds at what they're watching on TV. To see these characters now in live action, it's got to be just absolutely incredible. So I was happy for those fans that I know that are out there that are just absolutely probably tearing up just getting to see their cartoon heroes now in live action. But for me, just like I said, it's not that I didn't like it or that I was had any really things to say negatively towards the show. It's just I can tell I just don't have that special connection. I walked away from this just thinking like it was very good. I liked it. But when I walked away from Mando, I was like, that was the best thing I've ever seen ever. Oh my God. Yeah. So as a Mando fan, this show is just not hitting as home for me. But again, that's not me trying to knock it in any way. It's just, I think, me not having that history with the show. Yeah. That's all. How about you?
You know, I have to second your thoughts on the visual effects. CGI, probably one of the best CGI visual effects of any Star Wars project to date. I mean, it was just mind blowing. Like, this is a TV show. This is not, you know, a movie. This is not a IMAX, you know, a blockbuster. I mean, they went all out, and, you know, comparing that to the first season of Mandalorian, which was awesome, by the way. And yep. It was with the new technology, with the volume and how they're shooting these things on virtual sets and all that kind of stuff. And they really did it. But you can go back, if you watch that first season, you can see how small everything seemed. You know, everything was in a small set. It was in like in a room. Or you can tell that it was a extended set on the outdoors, but you can kind of tell like they're still in a confined space physically, even though virtually it's extended. I didn't get that with this. Like, I felt like they were out on these real locations. They were really out in these new worlds, and the ships and the battles of space, and it was just amazing. So top notch visually, loved it. And I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not a huge watcher of the animated series. I have picked up quite a bit from my kids watching it. It was just something that I just didn't get into as much. So I picked up bits and pieces through the Clone Wars, through the Rebels. And so I have somewhat of an understanding of her story. And then obviously what Kevin last week filled us all in, gave us a Cliff Notes version of her history. And so, I don't have a huge connection with Ahsoka, but I still appreciate what they did. But for me, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was very deliberate in what they did. They took their time. They didn't rush it. Let's lightsaber battles all the time, or dogfights all the time. We're in space all the time. Bang, bang, shoot them up. I know some people like that. That's what they were expecting. I was not expecting that. I'm glad that they took everything. It was very deliberate. Every scene, every shot was very thought out. Every line was thought out. And to me, it felt like one of the most Star Wars pieces of content. So if you compare it to the original trilogy, which is Star Wars, what a lot of people say, like, that's Star Wars. I felt like this was Star Wars. So like this and Andor are probably one of my favorite Star Wars projects to date. Love Mandalorian. It's great. It is what it is. It fits that niche of like the action pack. But if you want great character development, you want really good, deliberate storytelling, I think Andor and Ahsoka is what you're gonna love. So greatly loved these first two episodes. I can't, you know, break it down even more and see what's coming next.
So Brian, you're somebody that did dive in and watch all the Clone Wars and Rebels and Tales of the Jedi show. What was it like for you getting to see this character that you've watched for years in the animated form? I guess, I mean, you've already seen her a couple mm-hmm. of times there in Mando season 2 and Book of Boba Fett, but now to see an entire show focused on her and for her being basically in there for the entire episode, what is that like as an Ahsoka fan?
Yeah, it was great. And I think even for me, I mean, I'm a little older than most of the Clone Wars fans. I think that I'm really excited for the millennials who are in their, you know, early 30s, who were watching the Clone Wars as little kids, you know, or teenagers. And I think that's the audience they're really trying to hit. And to see her come from so far, because when you first meet her in Clone Wars, she's probably the same age as Anakin in the prequels. She's probably like 10, 11. Yeah. Oh, wow. And it's she becomes Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. And there's people who didn't watch the Clone Wars didn't even know that Anakin had a Padawan. You know, mm-hmm. So it's basically her show. If you really, it's actually just as the Clone Wars are just as much her show as they are Anakin and Obi-Wan's. If you look at it in that context, you're talking about, you know, 7 seasons, and then that 7th season was years later, right? We just wrapped that up this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to be it's a big emotional punch, just like you were saying, to a lot of people who just followed it all the way through. And then after that, there was a show called Rebels, which is basically they're saying that this is kind of like the 5th season of Rebels. You know, it's very cool to see that. I think more importantly than Ahsoka, though, I think that this is what's happening is they're kind of doing a / MCU type phase three type of thing, because one of the upcoming movies is the one that Filoni is slated to direct, which is going to be kind of like an Avengers type Mandoverse movie. Yep. And that's what I think is what they're leading up to. So even for the people who still going to have to go back and probably check out some of the animated stuff, this is still going to affect your live action stuff that you already love, because eventually it's going to be a, you know, I know this is Star Wars, but Avengers Assemble in the future, and these people are going to get together, they're going to fight the big bad, and it's going to tie in with all the stuff that you really like about the shows on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they're really laying the groundwork of, you know, that going back to being very deliberate. There's lots of holes to fill in from, you know, obviously the animated shows, and then between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, there's lots of stuff there that's happened. Like, how do we get from the fall of the Galactic Empire to the First Order? We know the New Republic was in the middle, so what happened there? Obviously, once we get into the details of the show, we'll talk about that. But yeah, there's lots of dots to connect here, and I think they have a good start.
All right, now I'm gonna jump a little bit out of order here, and actually I want to start with the end of episode two that we just wrapped up with, because Brian's obviously a Clone Wars and a Rebels guy. Now, me being somebody that didn't watch those shows, it's not like I don't live under a rock, so I've definitely seen that scene where Ahsoka Tano shows up wearing the hooded white cloak and has the staff, and she shows up with Sabine Wren. Sabine's touching the wall there with the mural of her teammates there. And she has her Mando helmet as well in that scene. And that's how this live action show ends on episode two. So, Brian, in your opinion, did we just see in live action basically a replay of what we saw in the Rebel season? Or do you think this is just a very similar scene playing out again?
Well, I think it's a similar scene. And I think it's kind of a reintroduction. And the reason I say that is because Filoni did both shows. So if he wanted to make it an exact duplicate, he would be the guy. He would make it the exact. She was carrying a staff at the end of Rebels. They said, let's go get Ezra. You know, they didn't say that this time. But it does parallel. So definitely. And it's the same, same mural, same everything. And yeah, I think that, you know, Filoni is basically the only, not that he's the only one, but he's probably the one that's officially recognized, at least by the hardcore Star Wars fans, as the heir to Lucas. And so he kind of does a lot of things that Lucas does, and he does a lot of things that mirror each other. So, you know, that famous thing, you know, it's like poetry, they rhyme, you know, that one thing that they always play over from Lucas.
Yep.
I think that's what he was doing there in that scene. He wants to make things mirror each other. He likes foreshadowing, aftershadowing, and he just kind of wanted us to remind us, like, yeah, we've been here before.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's the Filoni apprentice is now becoming Filoni the Jedi Master.
All right, let's get into spoilers. So we need like a spoiler button. We need like a spoiler jingle to let people know, like, you know, okay, here's where it's coming out. If you don't want to know, then plug your ears. So, I mean, first things off, this started like no other Star Wars show has started. And we got a crawl. I mean, that tells you that this is something that's different and that's special. That we got, although it's a crawl is different, it wasn't floating out into space. It wasn't yellow. It was red and it was going straight up. But the fact that only the movies have had a crawl. Now this one has a crawl, but somewhat different. Is interesting. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it was strange in the sense that it was in Sith colors. It was red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought it was cool because anytime you see a Star Wars crawl, it automatically sets the mood, right? They always talk about every time if you're somebody who's into filmmaking, the first thing you need to do is set tone, and that's for every genre of film. If it's a horror movie, you kind of want to, you know, if they're driving in the woods on a rainy night, that sets the tone. If it's an action movie, you know, you want to set the tone. You want to do that within the first, you know, 10 minutes of the film. And the Star Wars crawl can set the tone just in the first minute. Mm-hmm. So I think that was great because we already know, okay, this is already Star Wars. We know this. This is familiar. So you already got the emotions up. You already got your, you know, whatever Star Wars content you have in the back of your brain just got activated. Mm-hmm. And we were ready to go. The choice of using Sith colors was interesting because I don't think there's any official Sith in the project, you know.
At least not yet.
Yeah, at least not yet, yeah. And so, but I mean, it could just be that, you know, hey, it's a foreboding or a foreshadowing of a dark times ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the only other time that we had like any type of intro like that from a non Skywalker saga movie was Solo had it was just the text on the screen just kind of fill you in, but it wasn't the scrolling text anything. I remember when we first watched Rogue One, we were all like, how are they going to intro this? Is it going to have a crawl? Is it how they're going to do it? And it just started. That was like, whoa, this is different. And now we've gotten used to it.
Yep.
It's like, oh, it's a Star Wars show, so it just starts. But now they're kind of flipping the script. They're like, okay, this is different. We're getting back into what it was, but it's not quite Star Wars, the movie way. So I thought it was awesome. And I think it was also a device to the people who aren't familiar with the animated shows as a way to like, okay, here are the players. Here's what's happened, you know, and also, if they've never watched The Mandalorian, I mean, they've also kind of set that up too by introducing some characters that were introduced in The Mandalorian, like Morgan Elsbeth, you know, introduced these characters. So that way, okay, here's what's going on, and then go. Let's get into this. I thought it was really interesting how they started this off.
And my first thought was I can see the YouTube videos now from creator after creator breaking down like, okay, we got the crawl back, but what's up with the angle? The angle is different and it's coming straight up and it's the Sith colors, like Brian said, like there's going to be so many videos breaking down every single little nook and cranny from that crawl there. But like you guys kind of said there, it did feel good to kind of get that real Star Wars vibe again, get the things kicking off with that crawl, and then the ship coming in right as well too. Like right as the words kind of left the screen, then we get right there, right up into the ship passing through to start off the episode.
Yeah, and another jailbreak again, and the New Republic has some things to look into with how they built their jails for sure, because they can't seem to keep any prisoners in their jails.
Yeah. In that galaxy far away, nobody knows how to make a good prison ship. Everybody that goes to jail, good or bad, the other side always finds a way to get them out.
Yeah, I was thinking that they had better security at 7-Eleven during the COVID lockdowns. I mean, it was like, oh, there's people trying to get aboard our ship. You know what? Let's let them in.
We don't know who you are, but come on in. Let's talk. Let's talk about
it. I'm going to call their bluff. I'm going to let them in my ship. I could easily blow them out of the sky. We have this huge ship. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Two Jedis, I can take them. Bring them in.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it was a great, you know, they started off with some action and got us into, like, okay, we got lightsaber action. We're in Star Wars. We got a crawl. We got lightsabers. We're here. I'm here for it, for sure. It was a great way to start it off.
I love seeing new characters and you have no idea what their names are, if they're really good, are they kind of good, kind of bad, are they straight up bad guys, but you just, like you said, it just starts off with some action. You're like, yes, I don't know who the heck I'm watching right now and if I should be rooting for them or not, but I know I like what I'm watching right now. I'm seeing just straight up lightsaber battle right out of the gate here. It's a perfect way to start.
For sure. Now we kind of get in when we first see Ahsoka. She's off on another planet going kind of like Indiana Jones style, you know, looking at artifacts, trying to figure out these clues. Did any of you guys play the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order? Were you guys into the video games at all?
Yeah.
Okay. No. So Brian, you were. So that I was getting those vibes from, you know, this whole show, the whole marketing, you know, had that Jedi Fallen Order type vibe to it, you know, looking for artifacts and trying to figure things out, you know, star maps and all that kind of stuff. So I was really getting those vibes. So I was like, oh, I wonder if they're going to have some type of, you know, crossover. Are we going to see Cal Kestis and all this type of stuff? And so now I'm going way into the weeds. If you're not into, like, I mean, there's people who love the movies, then there's people who love the anime shows, and then there's the people who love the video games, and that's like the real bottom of the barrel type of people. So, because, you know, that's, you know, whole different storyline, but I would love to see them bring that in. But yeah, I was getting definitely like, you know, Indiana Jones, very adventure. Let's find some artifacts. Let's, you know, explore ancient worlds. I loved it.
Well, she even used force psychometry while she was actually looking for the artifacts. So you would see Kyle Kestis in Falling Order. There's these things called force echoes. And so it's like the force kind of leaves it, and a Jedi or somebody who's really force sensitive can kind of pick up the history of an object or history of a place. It's kind of linked to force psychometry, which is what, like when Rey touched Luke's lightsaber and she gets all these visions. So that happened a lot during Ahsoka. And so they were kind of borrowing, I think, from the games and a little bit from even from the older games, from the Old Republic games in this episode, which is pretty cool. So I do think, well, I'll talk about this a little more later, but I do appreciate everything that Johnny said early on about how he was more happy for the people who got into the animated stuff or who are doing these deep cuts. And there's even people who are even more bottom of the bill than the video game people, is people who are into the EU, the Expanded Universe books. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
They were really upset when Disney made them legends when they purchased Lucasfilms. Because that's where Thrawn comes from. You know, that's where a lot of these things come from. And those books are probably, some are like 20 years old, you know? So, yeah. And there's stuff that's being even taken from that. So I'll talk a little more about my criticisms of them relying a lot on that later, but you're going to see a lot of that in this series.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they use the exact line, heir to the Empire.
Yes.
I mean, that's the title of the book, Thrawn. So, you know, yeah, it was definitely, they're pulling from that as well to bring those expanded universe stories into the mainstream canon. So, you know, we're introduced to Sabine, and what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think of Sabine?
So I think it was really cool the way they introduced her. She's still kind of, and again, this is for people who didn't watch the animated stuff, they don't know who Sabine is, right? Mm-hmm. But people who did, they were like, oh yeah, you know, they're revved up. They're really happy to see her because this is the first time they've seen her in live action. A lot of people don't know, especially the Mando fans, she's the one who gave the Darksaber to Bo-Katan Kryze. So the reason that all that stuff that's been in the Mandoverse for, you know, in the Mando series for the past few years, it kind of is her fault. She's the one that was like, hey, you can give it. And she gave it away, and it wasn't earned through combat. She just kind of gave it to her. So I think you should see it. And a lot of people don't know that she got it on Dathomir because she was you know, there with Darth Maul and picked it up, you know, from where he stashed it. So there's a lot of history here that a lot of people didn't get to see, but for the people who saw it, as soon as they saw her in live action, they were just, yeah, that's Sabine. She's a rebel. She's always been rebellious, even against her own clan. She's a Mandalorian. She was part of the Empire, went against the Empire as well. So yeah, her personality is great. But yeah, I do see, for people who didn't see this stuff, I am like, yeah, they'll probably be like, okay, this is a girl with nice hair, colorful. I wonder what she's about.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were also introduced to Hera, she's general. She's a general in the New Republic. And she's another character from Rebels. So first time seeing her. And fun fact, she's married to, who's she married to in real life? The actress. Yeah, she's married to Ewan McGregor. So there's Star Wars stories. So Star Wars ties there. So yeah. That's a nice little trivia fact for you there to stash away. So what did you guys think of her and the actress, way she played her?
I think she did a great job. Again, a lot of people who didn't watch Rebels don't know who she is. I think the Ghost Ship made kind of a little cameo in, was it Rogue One? I believe it was like a little flash.
Rogue One, and also in Rise of Skywalker.
Yep. In Rise of Skywalker, okay.
Last battle scene.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, she was kind of the leader of the whole team. Even though she wasn't the biggest star in Rebels, she was kind of the unofficial leader. She's the one who was the captain of the ship. She has a lot of history with Thrawn. And yeah, I think the actress did a great job. And I think they kind of portrayed her well. And I'm glad they didn't, because she wasn't really the biggest personality in Rebels. So I'm glad they didn't focus a whole lot on her. But she's the one that kind of pulls everything together.
For sure. Yep.
And what'd you think about her little droid sidekick there, Chopper? What was it like seeing Chopper for the first time live action?
You know, people love Chopper. You know, he was a star of Rebels. Here's the thing. When you talk about, I know this is a family show, but when you talk about, like, kills, like, body count, like, him and R2 are up there.
It's probably, for sure.
Chopper is about blowing up ships and doing a lot of damage. He did more damage to the Empire than a lot of the Rebels did in their entire fleets during that series. He's very ostentatious. He's got a personality. And him and R2 are probably two of the droids that actually have an actual attitude when it comes to things they're told and things not to do. But he has a bigger fan base than Hera, I believe. A lot of people.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chopper, he's kind of the man for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think he's voiced by Dave Filoni, too. I don't know if he was in the animated show, but when I was looking up kind of the list of actors for the live action show, it listed Dave Filoni as one of the voice actors for Chopper.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's possible, though. Yeah.
Now, in the animated show, Hera also had a son near the end of the series, correct? With a Jedi, Kanan. Right? Was the father? Do you think we'll see her son show up in this live action show?
Yeah, I hope so, because that was in the last episode, and it was kind of like the surprise. He had green hair because Kanan's human, and she's a Twi'lek, so. So I didn't even know that was possible, but apparently it is,
And, we will not get into space Star Wars biology in this podcast.
Well, Brian, when two space people really love each other.
But yeah, and it basically, he was just a human with really neon green hair. That's how they showed him at the end. So yeah, it'd be cool because he would probably definitely be Force sensitive. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. With his father being a Jedi, potentially there's another future Jedi candidate there. Maybe he got dropped off at Luke's Jedi school.
Yeah. Maybe, or maybe he's this Inquisitor that we see in Mask.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd be old enough yet, mysterious. But maybe because he was probably because this is depending on when this is. Because I know the first episode of Mando took a place 5 years. After
that's true,
the Death Star,
yeah.
So, and then there was probably some time between that before we saw the last scene in Rebels. But he would probably, I mean, I guess it's possible he's a teenager. Yeah. I guess it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see Sabine. I mean, I don't know if we want to go beat by beat through this episode or if we just want to hit the highlights. But I mean, Ahsoka finds the star map, needs to figure it out. She, Hera says, you know, the person who can help you figure out. She doesn't want to because she has history with her. She, Ahsoka, you know, apparently bailed on Sabine just like she bailed on Anakin. So they get the star map to her. Sabine, you know, tries to figure it out, figures it out. And then the dark side users, I don't want to call them Sith, but they find her and we get our first lightsaber fight between Sabine and Shin, who is the other force user. I don't know what we want to call them, but yeah. So what do you guys think of that? I mean, do we know if Sabine is force sensitive? Do we know that? Or is she just trained to use a lightsaber?
So in Rebels, for those of you who didn't watch it, she basically was about taking Mandalore back from the Empire. And when she found the Darksaber on Dathomir, she kind of just kept it for a while. And Kanan was training her on how to use it. Hmm. And for those of you who watched The Mandalorian, you know that the Darksaber was created by a Mandalorian, the first Mandalorian Jedi. Might have been the only Mandalorian Jedi. And they use it as a symbol of rulership over Mandalore. And that's why she kept it. And so Kanan was training her to how to use it. And just like with Din Djarin, it was heavy at first and it was unwieldy and it was hard. But she was never force sensitive in Rebels. And now there's going to be, if they make her force sensitive in this show, there's going to be a lot of hardcore Star Wars fans, probably half of them, that are going to say, look, you know, you either have the force or you don't. You don't just develop it, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be upset. And then there's going to be, they did do a good job because Huang, I believe the droid said, you know, you're the worst fourth person I ever met or something like that.
Yeah.
in the history of training.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if you go by the way, you know, Qui-Gon explains the Force and everyone, it's like everyone actually has access to the Force. It's just like some people are more sensitive to it than others. It's kind of like anyone could play basketball, but not everyone's going to make it to the NBA, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so if they take that route, I think it's acceptable. But if she starts lifting boulders and stuff, yeah, I'm going to call shenanigans, you know?
She's our galactic underdog. All the lunch pail folks through the galaxy are rooting for Sabine. Like, if she can do it, we can do it. Give us all a lightsaber.
Now, I will say she is a trained Mandalorian. So, I mean, the fact that she can fight is I think that fits with her character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. So, yeah.
All right. Let me just say this. This is my, like, the biggest issue that I did have with these first two episodes. And if you've listened to my podcast before, I apologize because this is not the first time I've had this little mini rant here before. And maybe it's just personally for me, but the way Disney has been doing their trailers just drives me crazy because to me, they had a fantastic cliffhanger, oh my God moment. Shocking moment to end this episode with Sabine getting stabbed with the lightsaber and you think that she's going to die, but I'm watching the scene and all I can think about in my head is I know I've already seen her with the short hair talking to Ahsoka Tano, and Ahsoka even, they have the clip of her saying nice haircut in the trailer for the show. So I'm like, to me, you lose all that like tension and excitement with potentially this character that all these Rebel fans have just been like so excited to see on this live action show now. And oh my, you know, I can't believe they're going to kill her off in the first episode. This is ridiculous. But then you think about it for 2 seconds. You're like, wait a minute. I've already seen multiple clips of her in the rest of the show. So like, I don't get why Disney does that. Like, I just feel like, especially in the Marvel fan base, in the Star Wars fan base, like, the fans are already bought in. We're going to come see the movie. We're going to watch these shows on Disney Plus. Like, you don't have to show us clips from the entire season to get us to buy in. Just show us the stuff you got in the first 15 minutes of the first episode, and we'll just let us live off that. That'll get us in the door, and the rest will take care of itself. Because I just, to me, it loses all that tension and all that excitement. And then it also makes me wonder, too, is with the kind of the sales pitch brain that I look at some of these things with, too, is like, I get that they want to build the excitement for the show and kind of give the fans something to talk about weeks in advance. Like, oh my God, we're going to get two episodes. But if you're going to have that exciting of a cliffhanger in episode one, and then to me, episode two didn't really have that cliffhanger moment. It just kind of, it ended at a point that it felt like it was good to end that episode. To me, you should have saved that moment for the end of it. I mean, the fact that you're doing week to week releases now, it comes across as like you want the fans to get fired up and then spend a week talking to their friends, going on a podcast, talking about it, watching YouTube content, and build that excitement for an entire week to get you to the next episode. So to me, it felt like, number one, it annoyed me because you already spoiled it with your trailer that she's not really dead. But then number two, like, I felt like you just wasted all that tension and excitement, because I'm sure we all did the same thing. As soon as that episode was over, like, boom, play, next episode. Like, we're right on to the next episode, and you find out in the first 2 seconds that she's sitting right there on the hospital bed, totally fine, basically.
So. Well, I'll even one-up you. I just think it was bad writing. I mean, if you count Darth Maul, Reba, Fennec Chan, and now Sabine, how many people get mortal gut wounds and have survived now? You know, there's this deepfake channel that I watch with Qui-Gon as a ghost, and he's just always upset. Yes. And the joke is, it's like he's talking to Obi-Wan, you know, and it's a cool channel. I forget the name of it, but you know, I'll shout it out in my podcast when I find it. But and then he's like talking to Obi-Wan, well, at least you killed him, because they're rewatching the prequel. He's like,
yeah.
Well, actually, he survived. And he's like, what? And he's like, back to, well, when did they discover that? He's like, 5 minutes after you died. You know? and then they keep watching all these Star Wars things, you know, all the way up through Obi-Wan. And it's like, she survived too? And it's like, Bacta, you know, and he's just like, man, this is BS. You know, I'm the only one who got stabbed and died out of the entire series, and I'm a master Jedi. So, yeah, I think that they just keep reusing that trope over and over again. So the next time someone gets stabbed or shot in the stomach, we're not going to buy it, even if they did spoil it in the trailers.
Yeah, apparently this galaxy cannot build a jail that can work efficiently, but the GI doctors are just absolutely some of the best that you can find out there. They know how to put your intestines back together if you've been stabbed with a lightsaber. They got that one down.
So what did you guys think about just the fact that there was a lot of stuff going around about how Baylan and Shen had orangish lightsabers versus... Mm-hmm. You know, a standard color, like they weren't red. And I heard that Filoni did that kind of intentionally. Part of it was because, you know, he said that it showed conflict within them. Just kind of like Vader's initial in the original trilogy, his was kind of wasn't bright red either. So it was kind of like, do they still have some good in them? And I do think Baylan kind of said that because he's kind of hesitant on having to kill Ahsoka.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Because, I mean, he makes it known that it's like, we are not Jedi.
Right.
But he also doesn't say, we are Sith. You know, he doesn't even use dark side. But, you know, he showed remorse. Like, it'd be a shame to kill her. You know, the Jedi, there's few of us. You know, there's few of them. So, you know, he you can tell that he's not fully committed to that way. What was it? There was something else that he said. I can't think of it right now, but it was with Morgan that, you know, when they're looking at the star map, and I don't know. I can't think of it, but, we can go on from there, but there's different times where he was just like very unsure like he didn't want to do something, but also made known that he was a Jedi, that he had, you know, that they're a rare breed now, and that mm-hmm. almost like he wanted to preserve the history and legacy of the Jedi, but still wasn't fully, you know, committed to it.
Yeah, and his apprentice Shen, she was always kind of like looking at him like, all right, what are we doing here? Kind of. She always mm-hmm. had that look on her face, you know?
Yeah.
As if they may have an agenda that's different than Morgan. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we really don't know what that agenda is. We know they want to find Thrawn. I don't know why an ex-Jedi, I guess he's an ex-Jedi. Mm-hmm. And then Shen is probably, you know, she's younger, so she's probably somebody that was force sensitive he found after Order 66. Mm-hmm. I don't know if why they would need Thrawn if they're not loyal to the Empire, you know, if they're not because Thrawn is he's a big bad, but he's a genius, you know, yeah. and that's what he is. He's not a superpowered person. He's just somebody who knows how to get things done. And it's probably, you know, if you, for the people who read any of the EU or read, Heir to the Empire, you know, he would beat, Luke and people at their plans just through intelligence, you know, mm-hmm. and he studies people's art. That's how he figures out how to get the best on different cultures. And that's who he is, but he's not a Thanos like character though. He doesn't mm-hmm. have like superpower, like, he could fight, but he's not somebody who could take on a legion of people or anything like that. He'll just outsmart them, you know, mm-hmm. and outmaneuver them. So I'm wondering if there is a big bad behind the big bad, because he's, even if they found him, I don't see why force sensitive people would think that he's going to be able to give them any sort of power that's more than they already have or more than they could get on their own, especially if they need to go to a whole nother galaxy. And that's something we haven't even talked about yet, because I think that's the first time in Star Wars that, other than in the EU, where they're actually mentioning another galaxy with any significance.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let's get into that a little bit. So they find a star map. They find out that Thrawn and Ezra are in a completely different galaxy than the Star Wars galaxy that we know of. And so some of the theories are, is that this is the Unknown Regions, this other galaxy. And so the Unknown Regions, if you're not familiar with that, that's where Palpatine is in Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. So, and that they, you know, Kylo Ren had to use the Sith Wayfinder to find his way. They don't go into detail about how they got there, but used the Sith Wayfinder to find the way there. So the theory is that Thrawn is in these unknown regions building up his army, maybe with the help of Palpatine through his clone, or maybe he's helped cloning Palpatine. I mean, we're getting hints of cloning and Snoke throughout some of the episodes of Mandalorian. So is this thread that we're going to getting into? And then there's the whole thing with the Night Sisters, you know, and all that. And is that going to play into, you know, the clone technology, the dark cloning technology, as it was referred to in Rise of Skywalker. So, I mean, we're getting into the Star Wars weeds with this show, something that we haven't done before. And I mean, the movies were all very top line, you know, basic level, good guy, bad guy, you know, light side, dark side, you know, type thing. But now we're kind of getting into this. I mean, The Mandalorian kind of started with that, with the mercenary, the underworld, and how there's, you know, there's people in between the good side and the bad side. There's people just trying to make a living in the galaxy and do it in, you know, maybe in some unsavory ways. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of getting that same thing with, you know, Ahsoka, who is a gray, doing air quotes, gray Jedi, not a Jedi, not a Sith, just uses a force user. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can go into this, and things that for the casual fan may go way over their head and may not be really interested into it, because it does get really deep in the weeds when it comes into Star Wars mythology.
Right. And if they do make this other galaxy, the Unknown Regions, it would be a bit of a retcon, which I think would make sense for new fans. because I think new fans are probably like, why don't they just go to other galaxies? Why are they fighting over this in this one galaxy? But for the old school fans, they'll probably be upset because the Unknown Regions is where Thrawn was actually from. That's where the Sith are from. Shiss. I can never really pronounce it. It's Chiss. That's his species. And he was from the Unknown Regions, and they kind of have an empire out there. And the reason they couldn't, it's unknown, is because there's no maps charting it. And they actually use force sensitives to navigate, kind of like they do in Dune, to where they have special people there. And actually, in one of the books, the Shiss navigators were actually called Skywalkers, which was kind of like a da-da kind of a thing in the books, but no longer canon. But I do think it would make sense if, the Unknown Regions were just a pathway to another galaxy, especially for new people, because they're probably like, why hasn't this galaxy been discovered? We kind of, just in our world, we know pretty much the Milky Way, even though we can't get to it. We kind of know what's out there. Mm-hmm. Why don't they? It'd be interesting. And then when Morgan mentions the, this was built by people from another galaxy, that shrine that they were at, are they talking about the Yuuzhan Vong, which was another EU thing where these creatures from another galaxy that can resist the force, and they basically are all bio weapons, and that was like the next big war? Or are they talking about the Rakatan Empire that you could see in the Old Republic games, and they were like the people creatures who ruled the galaxy, and this was like 50 to 100,000 years ago. I mean, it was way back. Although I do think they're shortening the timelines, because the big timelines that are good for books and games aren't really good for movies and shows, because you want some of your characters to be able to repeat, and do for things like that.
For sure.
But they did hint at the Rakatan Empire in Andor, of all shows, the most realistic ground-based show, when Skarsgård's character showed and gave Andor the crystal that was worth like 50,000 credits. And said that was from the Rakatan Empire. So I don't know if they're going in that direction. There's a lot of ways they can go. But yeah, I kind of do smell some retconning coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's the whole world between worlds.
From
Rebels. So you start getting the time travel and multiverse and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, there's so many directions that they go. They have so many outs that they could use to explain all these types of things. So, I mean, only time will tell. We'll just have to see where they go with all of this.
Yeah.
Almost makes you wish you knew now if they could just tell us, like, how many more seasons of Ahsoka are we going to get, and how many more seasons of Mando are we going to get before we get to that Dave Filoni movie? Because I think, depending on how much further they want to push these shows leading up to the movie, might even help us kind of figure out what they're doing here, where if they're planning 2-3 seasons more of Mando, 2-3 seasons more of Ahsoka, then I think they could get into all that nitty gritty type stuff, all these different races and species that are out there in these other galaxies. But if we're looking at only maybe 1 or 2 seasons more of Mando, and I've even heard some people say they don't think Ahsoka is going to have anything past this one season. They think the storyline's been developed to just be a one season show and that's it. And if that's the case, then you would feel like they're going to be jumping to that movie pretty quickly. And if that's the case, I would get the vibe that they're probably not going to go that in depth getting into this completely other culture and type of thing. So I kind of wish there was a way we could put our space Ouija board here together and figure out exactly how many more seasons and movies they have kind of on their dream board at the Lucasfilm offices. I think that would help us kind of figure out what their long-term plans are.
Well, hopefully they have a long-term plan, and that they actually sat down like, okay, let's plan this whole thing out from start to finish. I think, like I mentioned last week, or actually it was earlier this week, I think that if they learned anything from the sequel trilogy, that they did that, hopefully. So we'll just have to wait and see, and after all these things come out, and then people start talking about the development of these shows, and I think we'll eventually find out, but it's probably not going to be for a while.
Yeah, I would think, and they're going to have to lead up to it. They're going to have to really build in a lot of stuff. We hope the architecture's there. They came out with their new Star Wars timeline, going back to the Dawn of the Jedi, and they introduced you know, the High Republic, the Old Republic, the High Republic. You know, they have this whole new timeline that I talked about on my podcast before, but you can just go Google it, and they have, like, you know, the whole thing they did at this year's Star Wars Celebration. And so it seems like they have a plan. And Filoni's movie is in that plan. I'm just hoping that, you know, that they can pull it off with a bang, you know. I don't know how much longer you know, certain actors want to continue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got The Last of Us, and we have a lot of different projects for Mr. Din Djarin. And I think he likes showing his face a little more than he's allowed to, so we'll see. But yeah, I think they do need a plan. I think they have a plan. The question is it a good plan? And but yeah, I hope so. And I think Diana and Santo is Morgan was good for those of you. She's cool for, like, those of us who have done martial arts for a time. She is actually Dan and Santo's daughter, who was, like, Bruce Lee's first disciple. I think she's like Bruce Lee's goddaughter. And come up, and I think they rewrote her, because if you saw her in Mando when she fought Ahsoka, she didn't use any power. She used her Beskar staff, spear, and that was pretty much it. And then I think they, we need to give her something special for the Ahsoka show. And I think then there was some rewriting going on, and they made her a witch. So, and a lot of people don't know about the Witches of Dathomir if you didn't watch the animated stuff. And I think that's probably my biggest criticism. Not that they're using so much of the animated stuff. We all knew this was going to be kind of like the next episode of Rebels, kind of like the continuation of the Clone Wars, Rebels, etc. I think my biggest criticism is they obviously, this is a big budget project. Years ago, just on the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast, I did this thing, and a lot of the links are dead, so I might just go and redo it. But I had this page just called Clips for Casuals. And it was basically, this is when the Mando was coming out, and you could just clip, it was just YouTube clips that you could clip, and just the major points during the Clone Wars and the major points during Rebels. And it wasn't, you could just spend like 5 minutes on each, right? And I put that up in a day. You know, they could have thrown $100,000 towards one of their interns or whatever and say, and just do like a preview show, kind of like Marvel does with, what do they call it? Assembled. They could have done a half hour to an hour pre-show for this that just caught everyone up. They have all the stuff they own. Then they just clip it up, and they could have just went through. They could even had Dave Filoni narrate, and it would, and if just an hour show that people could watch before Ahsoka, probably cost them $100,000 to $200,000, which is a drop in a bucket compared to what they're spending on some of these shows. And everyone would have been caught up, and you don't need to force them to go watch all these things. And then now you have the investment in Ahsoka. Now you know who she is. Now you know everything, and you know all these different characters. You know, oh wow, Sabine had this to do with the Darksaber. Oh wow, the Witches of Dathomir. Oh, that's Darth Maul's planet. You know, they're the same people. You know, there's people who still don't know that, even after watching the first two episodes of Ahsoka, that Morgan could actually be a relative of Darth Maul. They don't even, you know, it's like, well, I'm saying that now, and people are like, what? I'm not saying that I don't want them to find out on DMSW, but they shouldn't have to. You know what I mean? so that's probably my biggest criticism, is that they could have just done like a clip show right before, and everyone would have been caught up to date, and then you're getting more buy-in. And especially with the strikes and everything, where a lot of these actors and producers and writers can't go out and promote, well, that's promotion. And it doesn't take anything to do it, especially when you own all the content already.
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, I know we're running along here, but so just to kind of finish out part two, the second episode, I mean, we find out that there's Imperial loyalists who are working in the shipyard. You know, they're taking stuff from the old Imperial ships, who are thought to be built on the new Republic ships, are actually being stolen, taken off for for Morgan and what they're building to go to this other galaxy. So we find out about that. We get some Chopper action finally. You know, Chopper in real life, you know, great to see him. And then we get the Ahsoka fight with this, you know, Inquisitor Merrick. You know, they don't call him an Inquisitor, but he has the double-bladed lightsaber, the spinning one, like the Inquisitors. He has a full face mask, so we don't know who he is. So I assume we're going to find out later. I would hope so. So we see that. I thought that was a great fight. I mean, the lightsaber action so far,
yeah,
top notch. And I said that last week. It's like that was one of my biggest things because they've really been pushing that in the marketing. And so we haven't seen like really good lightsaber fights since the prequels. So I'm glad that they're living up to that for sure. And then we get, like Brian mentioned, we get our poetry at the end with Sabine putting her armor back on, just like that scene from Rebels with Kanan. You know, it's almost shot for shot that they remade. So that was great to see that. So maybe we wrap it up here with overall thoughts. You know, Brian, what'd you think of the show so far? I know we talked about that at the beginning, but, you know, kind of go into more detail.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of potential. I think it has a lot of foreshadowing, a lot of places that they can go. I do have confidence in Filoni. And the only thing that I think, and this is not really on me, but I think is kind of troublesome, is that if this show for some reason doesn't work and it doesn't end with a bang, that's going to spell trouble for a lot of Star Wars. I mean, that could be a wrap. Not a wrap. I mean, they spent $4 billion on Star Wars. They're going to continue to make Star Wars content. But I think that this is what's going to need it to get people back on board and on with their future projects. If this doesn't do that well and people are not that interested and they can't pull it off, I don't see why people are going to be invested in anything they do down the road. So that's that's the risk. But so far, so good.
Great. Johnny?
Yeah, and for me, I think the two episodes combined gave me exactly kind of what I was hoping for from the show. There's a good mix of, like you said, the we wanted to see some action, some lightsaber fights, and they definitely hit on those beats. But then as much as I love Mando and everything about that character and that show, I was a humongous fan of the Andor show as well. I think that is right up there with Rogue One as some of the non-Skywalker-y type stuff that is just absolute top-notch Star Wars quality that we've got. And I think we kind of hit some of those beats when they went back to that kind of shipyard there and you saw those loyalists to the Empire kind of sneaking out. You see that kind of real world on the ground nitty gritty type of content with how the Empire and the New Republic and all that stuff mixes in with just all these folks that are just your lunch pail gang there, just working at the shipyard, and see how it affects what's going on there. So the show was a very good start for me. Like I said, it hit both the action and the small world type stuff at the same time. And I think, or at least what I'm hoping for, is over the course of this show, the characters like Hera and Sabine and even Ahsoka grow on me the same way Mando and Cass and Andor did on those shows. Because coming out of the gate, I think I was just assuming that instantly I'd be attached to them and I'd be rooting for them and excited about them as I've been with these other characters. And I didn't feel that. And like I said, I take the blame on that. I think it's because I didn't put enough time in watching the animated stuff. I think that would have certainly helped give me that connection. But I have no knocks on any of the acting performances or what they've chosen to do with those characters so far. So I think over the rest of the series here, I got high hope that by episode 8, I'll be cheering for them just as hard as we cheer for Mando. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I echo a lot of what you guys said. Again, like I said at the top of the show, it's like I love when shows take their time and they're deliberate with the choices that they make. For some, that may feel like it's too slow. I know a lot of people felt like that with Andor. That was too slow. And it felt spent too much time developing characters. But I think that's how stakes are made. That's how you get developed and lost in these stories, is watching these characters develop. Even though, say, Ahsoka developed, they developed her character over seven seasons of Clone Wars, a few seasons of Rebels. But I think, you know, they're really taking their time to really showcase this is where the galaxy is at right now. We saw a little bit of Mando, but here from the Empire and Republic side of the, you know, the conflict, this is what's going on right now. I have some coworkers who are not happy. They think it's one of the worst Star Wars shows to come out. So I'm like, okay, you know, they felt it was too slow. It's like a soap opera, and that, you know, it's not realistic. It's not Star Wars. And my argument is, it's the most Star Wars thing to come out since Star Wars. You know, go watch A New Hope right now, and don't tell me that that's not slow. I mean, A New Hope is so slow. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just that movie, it's like, I'm surprised my boys can sit through that thing, because I would have lost my attention span, from that back then. But, you know, I'm a child of the prequels. That's where I got started. And so, you know, you want to talk about slow, episode one is pretty slow too. But anyways, go ahead. That's none of that. But, you know, I think their Filoni is being so specific and deliberate with every single piece of dialogue, every shot, every action that's being filmed in this show is for a very specific purpose. And I appreciate that. And I love what they're doing. And I can't wait for more. I can't wait to see where this goes and where it all ties in the Mandalorian. It ties into the Mandoverse film and anything else that they're creating as like, I love it. And plus, I'm an easy Star Wars fan. I'll eat up anything that is given Star Wars. Like, I know not a lot of people really enjoyed Obi-Wan. I liked Obi-Wan because, again, I'm a child of the prequels. That's the character I grew up with. And so it was great seeing them back on action. So, but anyways, I thought it was great. Can't wait for more.
Good stuff. All right, Brian, any final thoughts for the first two episodes here from Ahsoka? And do you want to throw a prediction out there for where Filoni's going to take the rest of this season here, and how he might try to wrap it up?
Well, I'm glad it's 8 episodes, I believe. And, so that way at least they kind of got the pretext, and now we still got that 6 episode season. I think one of the things that Disney Plus is the big criticism of the, you know, Marvel and Star Wars is that they do a lot of 6 episodes and then 3 of them are filler. I think at least they could kind of get, you know, everything set up with these 2 episodes, and we still got 6 left. I think that's great. And I think as far as I think we're going to see another galaxy. I think there's going to be some big surprises. I think we're going to see, I don't know if it's going to be a flashback scene. I think we're going to see some flashbacks with Anakin. Mm-hmm. That's a good bone for all the prequels fans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I like the fact that they understand the Andor, like you guys mentioned before, the Andor people, there's a lot of people watched Andor and thought it was very slow, da, da, da. That's actually the history, and it actually enhances the rest of Star Wars, because that's what the people with the lightsabers and the pew-pew people actually are fighting for, you know? For
sure. Yep.
So if you watch it all, you kind of get that context. But I don't think anybody's opinion's not valid. But I think they understood that, and they're doing a lot of lightsaber fights. There's going to be a lot of space dog fights, and there's going to be a lot of blaster fights in Ahsoka, and they want to keep people's attention, and I think that's okay. You know,
yeah,
showing them that action is good. It, you know, you can, you know, it's like flies with you, attract more, whatever you attract with honey than vinegar. they're going to throw that honey on this one. And I think they're doing a good job so far. And I just hope that they can wrap it up with a bang in a way that is significant. I'm looking for that Avengers 1 Thanos grin at the end. That's what I'm looking for. And if they can hit that mark the same way we are when we first saw the first Avengers, they got money. That's what they got to do.
Brian said it here first, guys. We need that. We need that Thanos. We need that snap. Yeah. So we need that snap at the end. So maybe we get a snap from Thrawn. So that'd be great. Leave it on it. Leave it on. I'm all about movies that end on bad note. You know, it's like not just bad, but I mean, it's like there's going to be a continuation. But I love a good cliffhanger. I just love a good cliffhanger. So.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks again to Brian for joining us tonight. Brian is the co-host of the Rope Dropping Knowledge podcast with his wife, Tracy. You can find them on Instagram at Rope Dropping Knowledge, and definitely go check out their website, ropedroppingknowledge.com. You will find their podcasting links there and all their social links there as well, their email address. So, Brian, thanks so much for coming on and being a perfect guest here for episodes 1 and 2. And once you mention the giveaway here one more time, go over the rules for that so people don't forget to get themselves entered to win that.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. I was having such a good time. Yeah, we are the three of us. We are giving away a Ahsoka Tano Force Effects lightsaber, Black Series, and can't buy them in stores anymore. It's a really nice gift, unopened, so you'll be the first one opening it when you get it. And all you got to do is listen to Rope Dropping Knowledge. You already got the code word from Johnny here. Morai is his code word. And then Dreaming of Disney podcast. And each one of the podcasts is going to give you a code word, and then you direct message that to Johnny at DMSW on Instagram. Is that where you want it, Johnny?
Yep.
All right. And work. Then you have until October 1st, 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to enter with all three words that you will direct message to Johnny. The winner will be drawn at random and will be announced on the last episode of this Ahsoka series podcast on DMSW.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right. Thanks again, Brian, for coming on the show. We will talk to you guys next Thursday for the review on episode 3.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Take care.